But first, it is time for Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Justin Montemayor Weekends here on The Ticket.
Gosh, he's spending a lot of money on advertising. All right, in the corner today, I want to talk about dismantling a life. Now, I hope and pray I'm not beating everyone down with talk of what's going on in my life. But a lot of you know I lost both my parents within 8 months this year, and both were ill for the last years of their lives, and I had to assume a lot of the responsibilities of taking care of them, taking care of their bills and their pills and their home medical care and such. And I'm also the executor of their estate. So that's always a weird thing for you P1s who've gone through this and you've lost your parents and have heard from a lot of P1s, you know, sharing their stories of losing their parents recently, one or both of them. And when you're an executor, it's strange because your grieving is kind of constantly delayed. You know, mine was delayed from early on when they were sick, and there was, you know, it was almost like there was, I didn't have time to fully feel the weight of them slipping away from me because I had to, you know, get them showered or get them to a doctor's appointment. We had to do this, we had to do that. So you're always kind of kicking that can down the road because you have necessities that you have to attend to. Mm-hmm. And then when they pass away, then you have a service that you have to attend to, and that's a whole process and business. And sometime we're going to talk about costs of funeral services and obits and all that sort of thing. Sometime we'll talk about that.
I'm going to get in the obit business, I think.
That is the best business in the world, because in the obit business, you, as the, let's say you're the newspaper guy, okay, mm-hmm. who takes obit orders. You don't have to do any work other than take the order. The family will write the obit for you. They provide the labor, and then they pay you.
Yeah.
It's labor that pays you than to just run what they've gone with.
It's an incredible racket.
It is. And
the prices will shock people if they've never done it before.
Oh, it will floor you, because in regular publishing, you've heard the old dollar a word thing. That used to be a big saying in writing circles. You know, you get paid a buck a word. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I swear, in the obit business, you pay them about $5 a word.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Sometime we'll talk about that. And I'm really thinking about doing this. I'm thinking about doing a special Thursday night show, not only about my parents, but more parents in general and your relationship to them, them growing older, them when they were younger, just kids and parents. And I was thinking about maybe bringing my brother and sister up here and sharing funny stories and things
like
that. Because my parents, you know, they were characters, and P1s have heard me do their fake voices for years on the air. From my mother thinking everyone who wasn't a Baptist was a Mooney. They had some odd quirks. My dad, he had typical fatherly statements. Some classic ones from here on the air. Your mother thinks a car is just a rolling trash can. One complaint he always had about her. Another one he had about her was, she just burns through brakes. I have no idea why she feels she has to race up to a red light. And one classic statement he made once was, I'm having to replace the brakes with every fill-up at this point. And although my dad was a pastor of churches for years, and then he was a fundraiser for churches for 18 more years after his 22 years in the pulpit, and he also taught at two colleges, and he would do revivals, he'd do all that. But if you asked him what his job was, invariably he would say, all I do is turn off lights.
Man, I so related to your dad. I am right there with him on everything.
He just could not understand how everyone else in the household, if they turned on a light, none of you know that it also has an off feature. We just all turned them on and just left them on all the time. And that's all he did. All I do is go around turning off lights.
That's what I've been doing for years, too. That's what I do for a job. I turn off lights.
Another class one was, now, I'm not saying you can't use my tools. I just ask that you put them back when you're done. I find them strewn all over the house, and for the life of me, I can't figure out how my adjustable wrench made it into a box of honeycombs. He would find his hammer in the pantry, and just it just galled him. And these were problems that were never solved in his lifetime of us being children.
Oh, and that is so funny too, the dynamic of child versus parent. I never knew why my dad got so mad about that. It's like, okay, Dad, I'm sorry. You know, I'll put it back. And now
you find yourself saying some of those things.
Yes, I found a hammer just laying on the floor a couple of weeks ago. It's like, what doing here?
Yeah, he would go to all this. And my dad was a big woodworker, too, so he had the garage, you know, set up with his woodworking stuff. So his tools were extremely valuable to him. You know, it wasn't just a little home tool kit that you had. You know, he would have nice tools that he would keep organized and build workbenches for them and build organizers for them and all that. And we just, that didn't mean anything to us as kids. No, not at all.
What about when he would wake up in the middle of the night and go for a glass of water but bump into something?
Yeah, see, this is the problem. My mom was a big-time decorator, and she was always antiquing and decorating the house and redecorating the house. And people used to actually hire her. She would go in and redo people's homes. And she would go through different phases, you know, of her decorating styles. And she would get into certain time periods of antiques. And there'd be things like repurposed antiques. Like, I remember one time our paper towel holder was an old ice delivery man's tongs that you use, you know. And so each side would go into the side of the paper towel holder and you'd use that.
All I want is a Scott towel.
Can we just get something that dispenses a paper towel without 5 minutes of work? And so these were one of their private battles. There was always the private Cold War going on about her and cars. And the other one would be about her redecorating something that he felt worked just fine before. And, you know, so there would be like a butcher's block that would show up in the middle of the kitchen, you know, that wasn't there before. Or a new coffee table that was in a different configuration than the old one. Well, these things would just happen every week. Something new would change. And so my dad would wake up every morning around 3 a.m. He woke up incredibly early to start studying or working on a sermon or whatnot. Well, he'd have to walk through the house in the dark. And there was one morning where it was about getting close to 4, and we heard the loudest crash I've ever heard in my life. Because my mother wouldn't just put up a table, you know, it had to have things on it. And we hear this loud crash, go into the living room, flip on the overheads. There's Dad sprawled out in the middle of the floor. And there's an upturned coffee table with knickknacks flying everywhere that had flown everywhere. And my dad helped my dad up. This wasn't when he was old, by the way. This wasn't a senior person falling down. This is when he was, you know, probably 40-something. And we lifted him back up, and he said, "Your mother is doing her best to turn this house into an obstacle course."
An obstacle course.
So, and, you know, now I'm in the middle of talking about delayed grieving. We did the funeral, and you guys came to the funeral, and, you know, me and my brother and sister, we were the ones who did the whole funeral. We didn't have a preacher or anything like that. We stepped in and did that role. So I had to focus on that task. And then afterwards, now it's me as executor. There's just a lot of work you got to do. I mean, there's accounts, there's things you got to settle. And there's also the house that you have to deal with. And that's a very strange experience, dismantling, you know, the life that you knew, that, you know, your parents' home and the things that they had. And my dad was $1,600 away from paying off that house.
Man,
so close.
So close. And he could have paid it off early. But being my dad, he had to take advantage of this weird tax deal where ministers get a housing allowance thing, and, you know, so to save this in tax money, he wanted to know, I'm going to take advantage of it as long as I can. And so he was so close to paying off that house. Well, now I'm having to go through their home and get rid of stuff. Very strange. Well, their house was kind of a tale of two places. You had the inside of the house, well decorated, immaculate, you know, beautiful. And then the outside in the garage, these areas that were my dad's domain, not the case. Not the case. Like, Lamont and Fred could set up business probably in my parents' garage. Because, and my dad wouldn't call himself a hoarder. He would just call himself a not waster. Now, why he kept every broken down coffee maker he ever owned, I have no idea.
Want to get it fixed.
I have no idea, but he came from a family that was not very well off. Mm-hmm. His parents were Depression era, and they were more depressed than most during the Depression. And so he just didn't like throwing stuff away. So the consequence of that is you would just have these things. You know, he could just think of what he paid for them before.
Right.
And him seeing as my mother being wasteful, he had to counter program. So we'd have there's this stack of tires that came off my brother's Camaro. There's okay, why? I don't know. I remember he had those at one time. He didn't keep those around for all that long. I do remember one incident with the tires. My brother and I were watching TV in the family room, and we keep hearing someone go in the kitchen. We'd hear the water run, and then we'd hear the door that leads to the garage open, and then we'd hear the door leading to the garage open again. And then someone goes back in the kitchen, gets some more water, goes back out there. This happened like 20 times. So finally, we go and investigate. And my dad is going inside the house, getting this silly little carafe that my mom had gotten in Mexico, I think it was. It was a carafe that only held about a half a gallon, but it's all he could find at the moment. And he was getting water and going and dumping it on a garage fire that he had going because he had some rags that were sitting there in a pile that had some linseed oil in them. And he's trying to put this thing out because right next to it, you have two old Ever-Ready batteries Ever-Start batteries, and then that stack of Camaro tires is right next to it.
Why did he have the fire going?
He didn't intend to. They spontaneously combusted, and he's trying to put it out. But my dad doesn't ask anyone for help because a man does his own thing,
right?
And he's trying to put it out in the most inefficient way possible. But that's when the tires were in there. But so he kept a lot of stuff, and I'm going through the garage now, and the dumpster was delivered to the driveway yesterday. And so I went to work on that thing, and, it is so endless.
It's so weird, too. You feel funny about throwing some things out, too. You just like,
well, see, that's what I'm dealing with, and I have to keep reminding myself, okay, that Dad has passed on, and I've got a life that I've got to lead, too, and I can't
let it go.
Keep all the stuff, but you've internalized your parents' voices so much over the years, especially someone like me who internalizes so many voices to the point where I imitate them and do stuff like that. So all I do is just hear the dialogue in my head of every time, you're throwing away that stack of Scottish magazines?
Right.
You know how much I've paid for that that subscription to that? They're still good.
Someone else could read them.
That's the thing. My dad didn't have he didn't have that thing when something's not being useful anymore, when it's not being used.
Yeah.
That you should just get rid of it. Let somebody else use it. And I remember when he wrote a Toshiba TV into the ground. Everyone else had gone flat screen about a decade before. And my dad had a TV that was deeper than it was wide. And the picture tube had gone so bad in this thing that it was the old 4x3 format. You remember the old format of TVs. The picture tube had gone so bad, it was now 16:9. It had squeezed down into 16:9. Everything all stretched out. But it still works. I'm like, Dad, not well. It doesn't work well.
Isn't that an amazing study in generations and how all of our parents were from the generation where you never threw anything out? You always got it repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody sees everything as disposable.
It's disposable, right? It's cheaper to get a new one. It's a lot less hassle. And yesterday, I had to take that thing by myself, this TV.
Oh, it's still there?
It was. I put it out on the curb, and guess where it is now? still out on the curb. No one wants a. And that TV, the one I put out there, was not the one that had squeezed down. That was a few years ago. This one still fully works. But it weighs as much as an F-16.
Probably. I bet you gave yourself a hernia.
It was so heavy.
Yeah,
and I
those
put
old
it out
TVs
there,
are so heavy.
And not even junk takers will take that TV.
That's pretty bad.
Yes. Horrible. And coffee makers got rid of a lot of those.
As it's in midair, you hear, still works.
Yeah, that's what you hear. I hear my dad's voice the whole time I'm doing all this, you know, throwing away these things. And, of course, he had voluminous file cabinets because he was a preacher. Yeah. And that was back in the day when you collected. You cut things out of papers that you could use for illustrations or that talked about stewardship or talked about community, talked about spirituality. And so he had these files full of all this stuff. And that's the really weird part when you see a man's life work that you have to make decisions on.
You can't throw that stuff away.
What about the Wendy's coupons? You throwing those out too?
I've thrown away so many Wendy's coupons. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, you can throw that stuff, but not like his any sermons he kept or anything.
No,
like
if there's sermons or something that's handwritten, I keep all that.
Yeah.
But see, the problem is, and this is probably a difference between me and my brother. He's much more decisive, and he's like the garage. Everything goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just decides on the room, and then that goes. But, you know, I'm all...
You're very sentimental.
Yeah, and I'm just convinced I'll find some kind of treasure in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found several things from my youth that I want to keep, you know, letters people have written to him that were meaningful or something like that. But that necessitates going through each and everything.
It's a lot of work.
Which is a huge process.
Yep.
And I'm glad I did because I found many things that I wanted to keep. But still, throwing away just large swaths of stuff. And that, I can't understand how one man could fit a warehouse full of stuff in a 3-car garage. But he did it.
He was efficient.
He did it. And then all his work, the workout equipment, I don't know what I'm going to do with. He's also got a full woodworking shop. Problem is, it's dated from 1983, and I don't trust that radial arm saw not to throw the blade right through my solar plexus. So maybe we'll do a Thursday night, get my brother, because my brother and sister are really funny. They're very funny people, probably funnier than I am. Maybe do a Thursday night up here and
That'd
do
be
some
great.
Fun
That'd be
and fantastic. Get other people's parent memories, because everybody's parent is funny in their own way.
Yeah.
They all have dad sayings. They all have mom sayings. And I never tire of hearing the silly things that parents just are dug in on. As if they dug in on something.
All right, Gordo, thank you.